Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Stephen Jones, our speaker will be Reverend Mike Knight, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina. Today he'll bring the first message in a special four-part soul-winning series. The title of today's message is Start Witnessing Now. The text is from John chapter 4, verses 32 through 35.
As you prepare your things for the message this morning, let me introduce our speaker for the next 4 days. Pastor Mike Knight from North Carolina will be speaking for us. He's a 1990 graduate in Bible, and in 1994 earned his seminary degree in pastoral studies. His wife Nancy graduated in 1991 with a degree in counseling. The two of them were from different areas of the country. He's from Raleigh, North Carolina. She's from Davison, Michigan. They met here, and the Lord obviously has blended their lives, and they're serving together up in North Carolina with three children, Michaela, who's 14, Ashlyn, who's 12, and Hudson, who's 4. On April 9th, the year 2006, he had the opening service of Community Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina. They just celebrated their two-year anniversary two Sundays ago. And before that, the Lord led him to that role in some exciting, interesting ways. He was born in a Christian home, reared in a Christian home, went to Christian school. And it said by all external standards, you would look at his life and assume he must be a Christian because he had the externals down. But internally, he knew that he was lost, and he knew that if he died in that condition, he was on his way to hell. And when he was 14, the conviction became so great, and he yielded and came to the Lord at the age of 14. And then his senior year in high school, he went to the wilds, and it was there that he surrendered to full-time Christian service. While he was working on his master's degree here, he was teaching at the academy, and then he was also youth pastoring in Hendersonville. He had a lot of experience with youth as a student and in grad school. And then when he finished, he went to Marquette Manor in Downers Grove, Illinois, and was there as outreach pastor for 5 years, and then came to Bible Baptist Church in Charlotte and was associate pastor there for 6 years. He was supposed to be here in December, but because of the pertussis outbreak on campus, had to call and cancel the soul-winning emphasis. But it is such an important emphasis of the school year that wanted to get it back on the calendar, and his schedule was open. He was gracious and patient in being willing to reschedule and to be here this week to prepare all of us for the opportunities the Lord will put in our path this summer to give a word of testimony for Jesus Christ, to be a testimony and to share the gospel with others. His passion for soul winning, his gifts of soul winning are something I've respected since we were students together. And it's an emphasis I need more of, and we all need more of, to prepare us for the summer. So please give your attention to Pastor Knight as he comes and preaches the next 4 days.
All right, I'll ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. While you're doing that, let me just say thank you to Dr. Jones and to the administration for the privilege that he has given me to preach here in chapel for the next 4 days. And I am honored to do that. I'm humbled to do that. I don't feel qualified to do that. But the Lord has providentially given me this opportunity. And my prayer is that God would use these next 4 days to stir our hearts in one of the most difficult, challenging disciplines of the Christian life, and that is in the area of soul winning. Back in October of 2006, when Dr. Jones invited me to speak for this year's Soul Winning Emphasis Week, he said in his letter of invitation, and I quote, he said, "Right before the students go home, we desire to give them a refresher course about their responsibilities in this area." He said, "Some of them have never been taught how to win souls, so practical instruction and real-life illustrations are a great help to them." He also said in this letter that what he wanted me to do over the next 4 days is he wanted me to come and to help impart soul-winning zeal and know-how to the faculty and to the student body at Bob Jones University. Evangelist Dave Barba, who is a dear friend of mine, came and helped us 2 years ago as we started the new church there, Community Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina. When he found out that I would be preaching here in chapel for 4 days, he wrote me a letter, or emailed me several months ago. And he said this to me as advice. He says, sure, we'll be praying for you as you speak at BJU. And then he said this. He said, tell them that all believers are supposed to be soul winners and then show them how to do it. Many preachers, he said, I am with, do not know how to do it. And I'm here today to tell you that although there are a lot of people and a lot of Christians that talk about soul winning, there are way too many Christians that are actually doing it. And I know that you're in a busy time. You're getting ready to wind down your last full week of school and you're headed into exams. And I hope that the Lord will use the next 4 days to capture your attention. I'm here this week to do something very simple. And that is to teach you or to share with you some practical truths that God has taught me as a young man in the ministry over the last 20 years since I was sitting here where you sit as a freshman at Bob Jones University. I want you to understand that some of the lessons that I'm going to share with you over the next few days are lessons that I started learning when I was here. My prayer for this week is that God would use the next 4 days to ignite in each of us a passion for lost souls. That He would use these brief chapel messages to renew a commitment for us to share Christ, and also would use it for me to give you some practical tips and tools on how to share Christ with the end result of people coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I ask you, if the Lord would somehow use the next 4 days as we gather together for chapel, if He would somehow use the next 4 days to challenge your heart and to challenge my heart and to challenge the heart of the administrators here, if He would somehow do that so that one person came to know Christ, would it be worth it? I ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4, and I want to read one verse for the sake of time. I don't have time to read the entire context. Most of you are familiar with what is taking place in John chapter 4 as Christ is conversing with the woman of Samaria. And He goes against culture. He goes against what was kosher in His day. And He strikes up a conversation with a Samaritan woman who came to the well to find physical water. And she leaves with eternal life. As Christ opens up and reveals Himself to her. As He's ending His conversation with this very familiar story, the woman at the well, His disciples come up and they see Him talking to this Samaritan woman, and they didn't dare ask Him why He was talking to that Samaritan woman. And she leaves and she goes back into town to spread the gospel, to tell the people in town that she had met a man who knew all things about her. And His disciples in this passage of Scripture, they have a legitimate concern for their Lord. They approach Him and they ask Him if He had had anything to eat, and they encourage Him because He hadn't had any physical food for a while. And in verse 32 of John chapter 4, look at it. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And the disciples misunderstood what He was saying. The next verse tells us that they looked at one another and says, has someone else given Him something to eat? And in verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. And then in verse 35, He says this to His disciples. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I want to ask you a question today, and we're going to answer that question throughout the rest of the week, and it is this. How can you, as a student, as a faculty member, as a staff member here at Bob Jones University, how can you become an effective soul winner for Christ? And each day, I'm going to share with you just one practical thought about how you and I can become effective soul winners for the Lord. And the first one is found in this text, one of the main purposes, I believe, of Christ saying what He says to His disciples was this. In order for you and I to learn to be effective soul winners for Christ, the first thing we must do is we must start witnessing now. So, what do you mean? You drove 5 hours from Clayton, North Carolina to tell us that? Well, that's basically what Christ is saying. Christ is pointing out to His disciples that there was something more important than feeding their bellies and getting the lunch on time and doing all the things that we're caught up doing all the time. He said, what's most important is this. He says, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. But you know what? Don't wait 4 months. Because don't you understand that now is the time for you to be out witnessing for Christ? You might be here today and you might be getting ready to wrap up and to finish your first year as a freshman. You might say, well, Pastor Knight, I'm not prepared to go out and witness yet because I'm only a freshman and I haven't even completed my degree yet. I've only been in a Christian college like Bob Jones University for now just a few months. And I say to you, don't wait 4 years to start doing what God wants you to do in order for you and I to become effective soul winners for Christ. We must go from this place and we must start witnessing now. You say, why should I witness now? Number one, because it's commanded of you. You all know the Great Commission passages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 24. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. You know that that passage of Scripture, the main verb is teach, which means to make disciples. And you know what? That is a command. You're familiar with Mark chapter 16 in verse 15 where Christ says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word preach, you know, means to herald. It means to proclaim. It means to publish. And it is in the imperative. And that means that you should do it now. I ask you, as we begin 4 days of a soul-winning emphasis week, how many times, think with me, how many times this past semester have you proclaimed, have you heralded, have you shared the gospel with people in this surrounding area? How many times? Think about it. I'm not asking you this morning what kind of grades you make. I'm not asking you this morning whether you hold a leadership position here on campus. I'm not asking you how well your soccer team did or your basketball team did or your softball team or your society is faring throughout this semester. I'm not asking you how long you've served here at Bob Jones University on faculty and staff. What I'm asking you is when is the last time and how many times this year have you gone out and proclaimed and heralded and preached the gospel to a lost and dying world? You see, for you to attend a Christian college and university like Bob Jones University, and for many of you to work here on staff and serve so faithfully, and yet neglect one of the major responsibilities of our life, and that is to proclaim the gospel to lost people, is nothing short of disobedience. We know that the Bible teaches in 1 Samuel chapter 15 that obedience is better than sacrifice. God promises to bless sheer obedience. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, if you will be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, the Bible says, this man or this woman will be blessed in his deeds. You know what that means? That means that God will bless whatever you do. And that includes soul winning. you want to be an effective soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must obey God's command, and you must start now. For you to delay to herald the gospel and to share the gospel with lost people, for you to get so busy in your studies that you neglect going out and sharing the gospel here in this area, for you to do that as a student or as a faculty member or as a staff member, to delay is to disobey. You say, why should I go out and share the gospel now? Number one, because God commands it. But number two, because people are ready to get saved now. Did you know that? That's what Christ is saying to his disciples. He says here in verse 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Before we moved to Clayton, North Carolina to start the Community Baptist Church, my wife and I traveled around like a missionary. We raised 2 years worth of support. As we were putting together our support video, and some of you, I know Dr. McAllister and some of the faculty members have seen our support video, I decided that what I wanted to do is I wanted to show people all over the country as we traveled around. A lot of people were asking me, why in the world would you go to the Bible Belt, Clayton, North Carolina, and start another church? I wanted to answer that question. And so I took off and I asked a businessman in our church at Bible Baptist who had worked professionally in the media. And he had a lot of equipment with cameras. And I asked him to take off work. And I said, will you go to Clayton with me one day? And I spent an entire day in Clayton, North Carolina. And I went on the streets of Clayton and I stopped people cold turkey. And I asked them if I could interview them. On that day, I asked them 3 questions. Number one, I said, where do you attend church? Every person I interviewed either attended a Baptist church or a Methodist church. I asked them a 2nd question. How do you believe a person gets to heaven when they die? And then I ask them a 3rd question. What do you think about the growth in this particular area? Because where I am, Johnston County, is the 2nd fastest growing county in North Carolina. I submit to you today, some of these interviews are on my support video. That day in Clayton, North Carolina, I interviewed 11 different people, all of which said they attended church somewhere. And when I asked them the question, how do you believe a person gets to heaven when they die? Only one person out of 11 said anything at all about Jesus Christ. And I submit to you today, as we start this soul winning emphasis week, that people don't know. You say, well, have they heard? Yes, they've heard. Many times they've heard, but for whatever reason, they have not understood. Do you understand that the world's population is 6.6 plus billion people? Out of those 6.6 billion people, it's believed that 4 billion of those people live in an area called the 1040 window, which I'm sure you've heard about. 1.6 of those 4 billion people that live in the 1040 window is estimated that they have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, not even one time. I would say this, not even as a curse word. They've never heard about Jesus Christ. I submit to you that even people who have heard about Christ in a land called America don't understand the true meaning of the gospel, and they need to be told to specifically, proclaim specifically, that what they need is Jesus Christ. Do you understand that according to the world clock, that 110 people die every minute? That means that within the next 30 minutes, as we dismiss here in our chapel service, and you scurry off to lunch, and you scurry off to your next class to prepare for your exams next week, that within the next 30 minutes, 3,300 people will slip into eternity. And I submit to you that most of those people slip into eternity without Christ. We would do well today to get out of our comfortable seats, to lift up our eyes, and to look on the fields and to understand that they are white already to harvest. Say, why? Why should I start witnessing for the Lord now? Number one, because He commands it. Number two, because people are ready to get saved now. And finally, number three, very simply because of this. Please don't miss this. Do you understand that the only way for you to learn how to witness is to witness? Can I say that again? You say, Pastor Knight, I mean, you're not telling us anything that we don't know. You're right. Most of you know a lot more than I know. But I'm here to tell you the one of the main reasons that Christians are never effective in their soul winning is because so many Christians fail to do it. And in order for you and I to learn how to be effective soul winners for Christ, in order for you to learn to witness, you have to witness. Let me ask you a question. How do you learn to play basketball? You know what you do? You practice. You practice for hours. You know what? You practice a lot longer, a lot more basketball than you ever will play in a game. Because in order for you to learn how to play basketball, you have to spend a lot of time playing basketball, right? Think about many of you are instrumentalists or you're involved in music. If you want to learn how to play an instrument, what do you have to do? You begin when you're young and you start to practice and you spend hours in torturous practice. Listen, how do you learn how to preach? After this week, you might say, I need a little bit more practice. How do you learn how to preach? You know what? You have to get up and preach. Am I right? If you don't ever get up and preach, and if you don't ever have a very patient congregation to tolerate you until you learn how to preach, then you'll never learn how to preach. Same is true of witnessing. For over 10 years, I've taught an evangelism training class, and it consists of learning a 45-minute presentation of the gospel and 24 verses over a period of 10 to 12 weeks. The most important part of that evangelism training program is the on-the-job training. In order for you to take that class, it requires you to go out every single week and to put into practice the things that you're learning in the classroom. One of the most valuable things that I learned while at Bob Jones University is how to witness for Christ. Although I was challenged of this truth in a lot of my classes, and I remember sitting under Dr. McAllister in a personal evangelism class, and he was teaching us about witnessing, I submit to you today that I never learned how to witness sitting in the classroom at Bob Jones University. And you never will either. You'll learn some things and you'll learn some tools, but in order to learn how to witness, I had to get out and do it. And Bob Jones understands that. That's why they require a freshman Bible major to pick an extension and to go out on extension every week. Right? Well, I don't know how it works now, but when I was in school, right at the beginning of the year, I was a freshman Bible major and I had no clue about life, although I thought I knew everything about life. We gathered together in the amphitheater here and people got up and shared about all the various extensions. And they had tables set up here all around the area. And I, not knowing what I was getting myself into, I signed up for an extension through Mount Calvary Baptist Church here in town. It was Mount Calvary Baptist Church's Saturday morning soul winning extension, and it was led by a man by the name of Jack Samargo, who I believe is in our audience today. Only the Lord knew in my life as a freshman the impact that this extension ministry and this man would have upon my life. Well, this soul winning extension ministry was every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 12. And what Jack Samargo would do is he would bring a bus over to campus, and I'm sure this is going on today, and he would pick up guys and girls in front of the dorm on Saturday morning. He would take us back to Mount Calvary, and he would speak to us and teach us about soul winning for about 30 minutes. We would pray, we would divide up at two or three, and we would go out on the streets of Greenville, and we would knock on doors, and we would invite people to come to church and try to witness to them. Now, I have to submit to you, although I was brought up in a Christian home and my dad was a pastor, and I'd gone on visitation many times with my dad, I had no idea as a freshman what I was doing. My first time out, I was fortunate enough, or maybe you could say cursed enough, to be paired up with the leader, Jack Samargo. I was very content as a freshman Bible major to be a silent observer at that point. That day my heart was stirred as I watched Jack Samargo knock on doors, introduce himself, invite people out to church, and then attempt to give them the gospel. A few visits, I have to admit, were short. People were irritated the fact that we knocked on their door. But you know what? Most people listened. And many of those people we had a chance to share the gospel with. What stood out most in my mind as a young freshman Bible major was the compassion and the love in which Jack Samargo shared Christ with these people. I left that day and I came back to campus, and in my mind, what I was thinking is this: how does this man do it? I mean, how can he walk up to a strange house and knock on the door and introduce himself to people and begin a conversation about their children and about their dog and sometimes about a structure in the backyard, and then very quickly move that conversation to talking about the gospel? I quickly learned that the key was his genuine compassion and love that he had for people. During my third and fourth time out with Jack Samargo, he turned to me as we left the house and he said this, and I'll never forget it. "Okay, Mike, now it's your turn." I said, "My turn?" I said, no, you don't understand. I'm just a freshman and I've never done this before. I have no idea what I'm doing." And I'll never forget what he said to me that day. He looked at me and he asked me this question. He said, "Aren't you studying to be a preacher at Bob Jones University?" I said, "Well, yes, sir." He said, "Well, if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be a preacher, you better learn how to be a soul winner." And with that, he pushed me up to the door and he said, "Come on, just introduce yourself. Go as far as you can go. I'll help you." And you know what I did? With that admonition, as he pushed me up to that front door, I did what every brave freshman preacher boy would have done. I walked up to that door and I knocked on that door as softly and lightly as I could, praying in my heart very fervently that no one would dare be at home. And after he, behind me, knocked on the door a little harder, a big man opened the door and I was stunned. And I said, my name is Mike and this is Mr. Jack Samargo, and we're from, and I drew a blank. You ever done that? And he came right in and he introduced himself and he invited the man to church and he presented the gospel. And when we were all done, we turned around and we walked off that porch and he turned to me and he says, "All right, try it again." You know what? I did try it again. But the next time I got a little bit further in my conversation before he had to bail me out. And it wasn't long, you know what happened? Several weeks went by as I was on the job training and as he pushed me up to the door, and several weeks went by, and after several weeks, you know what I was doing? I was walking up to people's house and I was knocking on their door. I was introducing myself, inviting them to come to church and presenting them with the gospel. I came back here to campus and I began to talk to my friends. "Listen, you've got to go out on visitation with me on Saturday." You know what? A number of them, I rooked a number of them into going. And they would go out on visitation with me for about 3 or 4 weeks. And you know what I would do to them? After we were done with a visit, I would turn to them and say, "Okay, now it's your turn." And I'd push them up to the door. If I decided to get lazy on Saturday morning, Jack Samargo would walk right into my dorm room about 7:30 on Saturday morning. And he would wake me up along with all of my roommates up. And he would say to me, "Come on, Mike, we're waiting out front for you. If you're going to learn how to be a preacher, you better learn how to be a soul winner." I became a leader on this extension. To make a long story short, I started witnessing every week, and I went months witnessing, and I was into the second semester, and I had met two men who were about my age, who were both on drugs and addicted to alcohol. Their names were Tim and Willie.
And I just witnessed to them every week in my prayer group. They were praying for these guys. And I remember after about 6 weeks, I was so burdened for them. I went over to their home and I decided I was going to confront them about hell. And I opened up Luke 16 and I talked to them about the rich man and Lazarus. And after we were done, I said, "Tim and Willie, you know I love you. You know I'm burdened for you. I want to ask you to do me a favor next week." "So what's that?" I said, "Will you come go to church with me next Sunday?" And they both said yes. Well, I was excited until I realized that next Sunday started Bible conference here at Bob Jones University. When I found out it was Bible conference, I really struggled with that. And my pride set in. And I thought, would I dare bring these two long-haired drug addicts to campus here to a Bible conference service at Bob Jones? And after the Lord convicted my heart, I talked my roommate, my prayer captain, into driving his car over and picking up these two men. As I knocked on their door, Willie opened the door. Tim was gone and Willie was in shorts and a t-shirt. I said, "Willie, I was disappointed. Why aren't you ready to go? You said you would go to church with me." You see, back then, I was naive and I believed that when people said they were coming to church, they would actually come. Since then, I've learned. Well, Willie turned to me and he said something like this: "Mike, I would love to go to church with you tonight, but I forgot. Matter of fact, I want to go to church so that I can get saved." And I said, "Willie, you don't have to go to church to get saved." And I started sharing the gospel. I went through the gospel like I had done many times before. And when I was done, the only thing I knew how to say back then was this. I said, "Willie, I want to ask you a question. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you accept him or will you reject him?" And Willie looked at me and said, "I want to accept him." I said, "Wait a minute, Willie. What'd you say?" He says, "I want to accept him." And I never had anybody say yes before. And I said, "Willie, wait a minute. You must have misunderstood it." I went through the gospel again. I'm not lying to you. And the whole time I'm praying, asking God to show me what to do. And as I got to that question again, I said, "Willie, I want to ask you this question." I said, "What will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you accept him or will you reject him?" And he said, "Well, Mike, I've already told you once I want to accept him." I looked at my roommate, who was my prayer captain, and he looked at me and said, "Keep going, you're doing great." You see, he didn't know what to do either. And I looked at Willie and I said, "Willie, you're not bluffing me now, are you?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, let me just make sure." And I'm not lying to you. I went through the gospel a third time. And when I was done going through the gospel a third time, I asked Willie that question. "Now, Willie, now be honest with me. Be straight up. Now, don't you joke with me about this. Or what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you accept him or will you reject him?" And I'll never forget it. He looked at me and said, "I've already told you, Mike, twice that I want to get saved. Can I get saved?" And I looked at my roommate and he looked at me and I said to Willie, "Willie, to be honest with you, I've never had anyone say yes before. So the only thing I know to tell you to do is if you're serious, you bow your head and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life the best you know how. And when you're done, you just say amen." And I motioned for my roommate to bow his head and I bowed my head and Willie bowed his head. And as I bowed my head in my heart, I thought there is absolutely no way that this guy's going to get saved. And then Willie started praying and he confessed his sins, sins that I didn't even need to know about. When he was done, we were all three crying, and I looked up at him after he said amen, and I said, "Willie, if you died today, where would you go?" And he said, "I'd go to heaven." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "Because I just got saved." And that day, God lit a fire in Mike Knight's heart, and God taught me the greatest lesson that I have ever learned, and that is this. God can use this simple preacher. God can use me as a simple student in this university to spend my life introducing people to Jesus Christ. And I say to you today in closing, if you're ever going to be an effective soul winner for Christ, you've got to start witnessing now. And if you will go out and do what God has called you to do, then God blesses obedience and God will use you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Mike Knight, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.